Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we really are going to be talking about mind power. It's amazing how your thoughts affect your body. Now, I know so many of you listening have heard this before, but we have a delightful guest. We're going to be talking with Dr. Lynn Zimmerman, and we're going to be talking about her book, Heal Yourself. We're going to be talking about the science behind this. This isn't a bunch of woo-woo, folks. This is the real stuff. Hello, Dr. Zimmerman.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me here today.
Well, it's my pleasure. Do you mind if I call you Lynn?
Please do.
All right. Lynn, I was really fascinated with a lot of the information in your book and with having been involved in the understanding of mind and the development of mental skills on my own, I realize the mind-body connection. I've also had personal experience where I contributed to my own poor health at certain times in my life because of emotions that I was going through. And I learned this at a fairly young age, but you don't always want to acknowledge that your thoughts have power. In your book, Heal Yourself, you make a statement right at the very beginning, and I'm going to quote from your book, "Cellular biology and brain plasticity have proven that the human cellular codes contain everything we need to heal our own bodies and emotions. The National Institutes of Health and the Mayo Clinic have found many of these processes known collectively as energy medicine. They are effective." Lynn, in today's world, we have got a health system that you need to know. It's $10,000 a day in the hospital on average, and it goes up from there, just mere pocket change. People have problems with insurance policies. People are just absolutely, totally frustrated. And I like how in your book you start off right at the beginning, empowering them, saying, be aware, be aware. Finally, this is being recognized in certain aspects of the medical community. You yourself have studied human biology at the University of Minnesota. You got a professional degree in chiropractic from Texas Chiropractic College in Houston. You've studied orthopedics, neurology. You've done hypnotherapy study, medical hypnosis. You have been working as a physician for a number of years, and then you transitioned into energy medicine. Now, this is quite a background. What pushed your button? What made you say, as a medical professional, I'm going to stretch my paradigm?
It was actually the incredible pain of the patients that I was dealing with in my first practice. When I was thinking about this morning, patients that I initially saw were the people who were attracted to me were people who had already given up hope. I was like a last resort. These people had already been told, there's nothing that we can do for you. And it was seeing their pain that was just, it was heartbreaking to me. It was not just physical pain, acute injuries, chronic pain. It was seeing the hopelessness that they felt, the desperation that things would never get any better. And I realized in the first few months of my practice that I would need to do more than I was trained to do. And I was grateful for my training, the orthopedics, the neurology, bone pathology. I needed all that in order to diagnose and to see what was going on with their physical bodies. But what I discovered was that I needed to connect with them in an additional area. I needed to connect with them in their heart and in their gut so that they would understand that there was hope for change. It was seeing their incredible despair that made me need to do more. And in that first practice, I began practicing differently. When I would show them their x-rays, we would talk about the changes that were going to take place. When I would describe the results of these orthopedic tests, I would describe again what would be happening as they were going through therapy. And these people developed an internal picture of what was happening. We would talk about it at every therapy visit. We would talk about the nerves waking up, the muscles producing more collagen, all the changes that were taking place. And they captured an inner picture of what was happening and what their life was going to be like when they were doing this healing. And so they connected with their own power. They accessed their own power, and they potentiated their own healing. And what I saw when they did this was that, this was so inspiring to me, when a person actually could change, heal one part of their life, their back that didn't work before, or they were able to get up out of a chair without using their arms to push themselves up, once they saw that their own internal power could create that kind of healing in one part of their body, one part of their life, they expanded to change other parts of their life, better relationships, expanding their career, emotional healing. All these things went on because they saw that they had the power to heal inside themselves. They accessed it, and it inspired them to do more, to be able to expand more and to become who they truly were. So seeing what they could do when they accessed their own power, that was the beginning of the inspiration for this book, and that was more than 20 years ago.
You have some absolutely wonderful stories in your book. One of them is about a Lakota medicine man whose name was Fool's Crow. And this was a man who was followed, for all intents and purposes, by a gentleman, Thomas Males. And you talk about how you took an excerpt from Mr. Males' book, and it's about what this medicine man was able to do. And it's so fascinating. And when you read something like this, you know, so many of my listeners are like me. They are open, they're receptive to new concepts and ideas. They want to make their lives better. They want to be able to have good health. And the Native Americans had people that got sick, and the medicine men were trained. And Fool's Crow is a fascinating story. You put this in the book because you were presenting a different paradigm of wisdom that so many people at the time wouldn't have even begun to understand it. They would have called it something, whatever they choose to make it up to be, and would have been fearful of it. But you are open to exploring these different arenas.
I see Fool's Crow and shamanic healing, the kind of healing that has gone on for centuries, for thousands of years, as I see these healers as the first quantum physicists. These people, their job always was to connect the patient, the person that they were working with their own healing power, connecting them with universal healing power, the concept of unity, which quantum physics has made really clear to us in a science way. These people knew thousands of years ago, and they knew that in order to heal the patient had to be connected with their own healing energy and with universal healing energy, the healing energy that's within us when we're born, when we're conceived. And shamanic healers have always enhanced that. That has been their job, to connect the patient with their own healing powers, to remind the patient of who they are, of the healing power that is all around us, that infuses us, and that is in every cell of our body, in every circuit of our brain. The shamanic healer, people like Fool's Crow, remind people, humans, that this healing power is within us, that we are one with all healing power. And their powerful presence and their thinking of themselves as an energy channel, a channel that simply reminds people of who they are, channeling the healing power. This is not ethereal stuff. This is quantum physics. Quantum physics tells us that we are all connected, that we are connected with every energy wave, every bit of matter in this universe, and that we have only to access that to go beyond the barriers of our negative beliefs in order to access that energy and use it for purposes of healing and transformation and change. Shamanic medicine men like Fool's Crow were finely tuned to that. They were pure channels of this wonderful energy, and they affected what we think of as miracles every day. Now, these these are the miracles that they live with as common, ordinary, everyday occurrences. And to us, they're fantastic. When we experience it in our own life and we access it and we create it and we see what can be done, we realize that miracles are what we're meant to live. We're meant to live this way. We're meant to do our own healing. We have everything we need. We've just forgotten. We've forgotten how to access it. They remind us how. They remind us of how we can do it.
You talk about how the brain is so plastic. I was sharing with someone not too long ago. In fact, I was at a particular expo this weekend, and I talked to many, many people. And that was one of the things that I discussed with a particular individual was, don't get stuck in your thinking. The brain is so plastic. There is so much that can be done, and we're finally acknowledging it. I get so bored with the attitudes that have been around for generations that your brain starts to decline after you're 30 years of age, and forget it, you're going to be nothing more than a mass of, you know, gray dead cells by the time you're in your 60s, which is ludicrous. But you mentioned Michael Merzenich, and he is recognized as the world's leading researcher in this, which I think is phenomenal. And you also go into how we need to really be, and I'll use my word, awake, so that we recognize we're going to have all kinds of thoughts going through our head, but what are we going to give energy to? What? How are we going to support what we want? And when it comes to healing, and it can be on any modality in your life, that really is significant. Tell us a little bit about Michael.
He began his research more than 40 years ago, and his research all pointed out that the brain was plastic, that it could change itself, that the brain could actually change its physical structure, change synapses, change the circuits in the brain, and enhance them. But there was already in place in the medical world, in the research world, a model of a stationary brain, a brain that was not changing, the unchanging brain, that once we were born, that was the way our brain was, that one area was for mobility, another area was for creativity, another area is for moving the hands around. What Dr. Merzenich found was that if you would transpose nerves in the brain of various animals, one nerve going to a different place in the brain, if the animal's paw didn't work in one way, he could transpose the nerves, and the paw would work using other nerves. Another fantastic example is the Paul Bucky Rita. His father, I think it was, had a terrific stroke, and he was paralyzed except for just blinking his eyes at one point. And he worked with his father for several years, rehabbing him, rehabbing physical movement little by little by little bit, and eventually his father was able to move again, able to speak. He eventually could crawl, then walk, and he eventually returned to being a university professor for,
wow,
I think it was 10 years. Yes, for 10 years until he actually died. When they did an autopsy on this man's brain, they discovered that 90% of his functional brain had been killed in his stroke. With the 10% that was left, he was able to do everything that he was doing, moving, speaking, teaching, everything, because this part of the brain had taken over all the other functions. What Dr. Merzenich's work has shown us is that the brain is amazing in its capability to reformat itself, take over different functions, and what he has shown us is that there is no limit to the expansion that we can do with our brain, no limit on the time that we can do it. People in their 80s can, with exercises, take their brain back to the mental capacity, the memory function that they had before they were 50. And we can do this. We can enhance the amount of synapses and circuits that we have in our brain until we are physically no longer here, until we die. We can do this our whole lives. And the key to this is learning new things, paying attention and focusing, experiencing new things, and watching what's happening. As you said, being awake, paying attention. We can do this our whole lives. It gives us hope for every change that we want to make, emotional changes, physical changes, and changing who we are, expanding our horizons. The brain is capable of making physiological and emotional changes by our using these energy medicine tools. We have the capacity to do it, and now we have the tools to do it.
One of the tools that you talk about in your book is excavating. You say you must excavate. You need to identify the beliefs that keep you from making the changes that you want. And you have exercises in the book that I think are very useful, and I really believe that writing things down, there is that brain awake connection that we make that just by sitting and thinking, it's not necessarily going to be the same. There's that physical action that makes the imprint. It reminds me of what kids used to have to do in school. If they misbehaved, they'd sit down and maybe write 500 times, "I will not misbehave," "I will not misbehave," or whatever it is the teacher wants them to write. And they have to do it so many times, and what it does, it causes something to go into the psyche, as well as creating a focusing in that simplistic discipline that would drive a kid up a wall, but if the teacher were patient enough, yeah, the kid says, "All right, I did it. Okay, let me see. Okay, the last 20 don't look so good. They need to be legible. Redo them again." So it's focus. It's focus. It's focus. It's very much like what the military does when they're training people to teach them how to survive. They have to do something over and over and over and over again. And you've got a number of exercises in your book, and one of them has to do with excavating the inner saboteur. And God knows we all have one. We all have a saboteur. So let's go into that. What would you recommend to my listeners? First of all, how do they find out what their inner saboteur is?
We use the inner saboteur exercise when people, it's one of a number of exercises that we use if people are engaging in repeat self-sabotaging behavior and can't figure it out. You know, these are subconscious motivations, and there's a lot of study now that tells us that only 1 to 4% of our thoughts and emotions and actions are actually motivated by our conscious goals. The other 96% is being motivated by our subconscious programming, the stuff we start downloading before we're born. And the subconscious things, if we understood that something was conscious, we would say, "Oh, wow, that's a that wrong assumption has been causing me to do this all this time. I'm going to change this." If we understood these imprints consciously, it wouldn't be a problem. They're subconscious. And so the inner saboteur exercise is designed to help you root out what that inner saboteur might be, what idea it is that the subconscious mind is using to keep perpetuating something. And our subconscious mind is always trying to protect us. That's its goal. And so it thinks that it's always doing something that's positive, and a lot of times it's holding us back because it's very intimately connected with the lizard brain, the primitive brain that only wants to keep us safe, that doesn't care about expansion and being who we really are. The lizard brain hates change. So we look at an inner saboteur exercise to find out what is the energy, what's the hidden belief or assumption, what's the motivation that's causing this to happen without my wanting it to happen? How am I sabotaging myself? So, for instance, an example is a person who would want to lose weight, for instance, or say a person who wants to stop taking drugs and they can't seem to do it. There are many, many aspects of this, but this is just one of them. And looking at the inner saboteur would be a first thing that we would look at. Why? What is helping to perpetuate this? And he might say, and the inner saboteur exercise is, you say, "I don't want to do this." Whatever it is that you want to do, you say, "I don't want to do this," and say the first thing that comes to your mind, whatever it is, and however negative it may sound, you continue to do it until you get to a place of understanding, and it always comes. For instance, "I don't want to stop taking drugs because then I will lose all my friends." Okay, "I don't want to lose all my friends because then I'm going to have to make all new friends. I can't make new friends because I don't know how to make friends anymore. I don't know how to make friends because I'm so shy. I don't know how. I'm shy. I'm afraid to talk to people." Okay, so here is one inner saboteur. "I am so shy. I can't bear the idea of making new friends. And if I stop taking drugs, I'm going to have to look for a whole new set of friends because most of my friends are drug takers."
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. So here is a way to discover an inner saboteur. And it can go on for 20 or 30 or more statements until you find out, oh, whoa. You'll know because it'll resonate in your body. You will feel it resonating, and you'll have a sudden realization. Oh, yes. One of the examples in the book is from a counselor who found that none of the physical therapy was working for her after she had a car accident. Her low back pain was staying the same, even though she had tried several therapies that should have been effective. And she discovered when she did some inner saboteur work that since she had been injured, she was no longer the only driver for her entire family. She didn't have to take all of her extended family to where they needed to go on their errands. And it was a relief to her to share this responsibility with other people. Once she realized that this was an inner saboteur telling her that, look, if you get totally well again, you're going to have to take up all these responsibilities that are way too much for you. She saw this. She could see this when she did the inner saboteur exercise. And then she delegated some of these responsibilities to other family members. She divided these responsibilities so that she wasn't the only one. After that, she was able to do physical therapy and heal her low back injuries. These mm-hmm. are things that are completely hidden from us a lot of the time, and sometimes we think, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I can't believe that this. But when we ponder on this, when this idea comes to us, when we find it through this process, we go, oh yeah, that makes complete sense now. And we see rapid results when we have found this inner saboteur. We can see rapid results with the recovery then.
You go into a couple of different techniques. One is kinesiology, which I think is extremely interesting, that and also brain balancing. And then you go into meridian therapy, the emotional freedom technique, EFT. And you talk about history, how the Chinese had mapped meridians thousands of years ago and were able to use this very effectively. EFT is something that I think really has a very significant effect. I met a woman that lost like 150 pounds by using EFT. Now, she had also changed her eating pattern, but she mm-hmm. found that she used a particular tapping technique on her hand, and she was able to level herself out so she didn't go into the patterning of overeating.
Right.
Because she
yeah.
found she was a stress eater, and her right. life was going through a tremendous amount of stress. Let's go into that a little bit.
Many of us are stress eaters. Many of us, we use the techniques that we find effective. You know, what works for us, that's what we do. And for a lot of us, eating helps us to keep the stress at bay. It's a type of anesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
And when we use meridian tapping, a number of things happen. It's so effective because it works on a number of levels. It works at the level of the brain, the level of the emotions, and the cellular level in the body. When we tap on these acupressure points, and these are the points that we're tapping on the acupressure points on the face and the hands and the trunk, several things happen. We send quieting messages to the primitive brain, the lizard brain, the brain that gets alarmed when things are happening that are stressful. The brain that says, oh, I'm in the pattern of eating and I feel better when I eat when I'm stressed. The brain that wants to keep that pattern the same, the lizard brain. When we do this tapping, we send fear dampening messages to the lizard brain so it can be calm. When the lizard brain is calm, the primitive brain, the part that makes us contract in fear, when the lizard brain is quieted, the prefrontal cortex, the part of us that is the seat of our creativity and imagination, our center of will, our understanding of, I need to do this and this and this to get there, where I want to go. The prefrontal cortex can take over then. We can either be dominated by the lizard brain or by the prefrontal cortex, the creative part of our brain. One or the other of them will be engaging most of the time. And the prefrontal cortex, our creative part, is not our default position. The primitive brain, the lizard brain, is our default brain. It is the one that keeps us surviving, and that's the one that takes over all the time. By doing the tapping, we send fear-dampening messages to the lizard brain, and the creative brain can come into focus. Oh, I can do this. I can do this. And we start immediately having access to more creative solutions. So besides feeling less stressed, besides just relieving our stress, with tapping, we also engage the creative brain. Something that people have found that it's remarkable, and now that we're doing controlled studies, we know this from the scientific point of view, is that when people use the tapping, they after one session of tapping, 30 to 40 minutes, cortisol, the stress hormone, drops by 24%. That's immense. We're dropping
Wow.
the stress, we're dropping the cortisol, the stress hormone. Tapping helps us relieve our stress because it quiets the primitive brain. At the same time, tapping also reorganizes energy meridians that have been disrupted by emotional trauma, by stress, by other things going on in our lives, by prolonged physical illness. When we sustain traumas like this, they are immediately registered in the brain and the body. And the brain and body flag those like with a red tag that says, if something happens like this again, I'm going to make you feel this kind of fear that you're fearing now. And then it stuffs it into the subconscious mind. Something can come up years later, and we'll feel this immense stress over something that might seem minor to other people. And we think, what is this? It's because our stress flags have been triggered, and the meridians are still vibrating at that wacko rate because of the stress that they encountered before. When we use meridian tapping on the acupressure points, we are reorganizing the energy meridians relative to that fear or that stress or that trauma, whatever it was. This is how it's so effective for things like PTSD, child abuse, people who experience extreme emotional trauma. Meridian therapy is very effective for these people because it helps them reorganize at the cellular level and at the level of the fear center. They are changing. They're healing at all those levels and transforming this event. So now it becomes a historical event. It's not the trauma that's visiting them all the time. They can think about it. It's not like it erases it from their memory. They understand it's part of the history, but it's not driving their present. It's not the fear factor in their present that it was in that moment of that event. They have transformed it. They are different now. It's an event. It's history. It's not driving their life now.
Your book, and I know we're just about out of time, there are so many levels to it. It really is an excellent read. And the book, Heal Yourself, it's not just about the plasticity of the brain. It's about basically taking back our own personal power, which I think is quite significant. Now, I do know that there is a way that people can find out more about what it is you do. What is your website so they can follow up with what you're discussing today?
There are a couple of places where they can look, Donna. One is myenergymedicine.com. That's my website, myenergymedicine.com. And they can also look on drlynnblog.com. That's D-R-L-Y-N-N-E blog.com. Both of these sites have a lot of information about EFT, all the different kinds of therapies that are helpful, ways to use them, different things that they can be used for, all the different things that people have found them very, very effective for. And they can also just contact me at drlynnzimmerman@gmail.com. That's D-R-L-Y-N-N-E Zimmerman, Z-I-M-M-E-R-M-A-N, at Gmail. And I'll be happy to answer questions that they might have.
Well, wonderful. I'll tell you, she's got so much information in this book. I'd recommend, as you hear me recommend frequently, to really be willing to test out some of the exercises she has. Use a highlighter, go through the book, and dog-ear the pages. Oh, I know, you were taught not to do that. Believe me, if you use this book, Heal Yourself, it's going to empower you in a way that allows you to make your own choices, and I think that's what we need to remember. There's no government in the world that has the right to tell you how to think or how to feel or what to do. You need to do that for yourself, because when you do that, you really then can become the person you want to be. Dr. Lynn Zimmerman, thank you so much for being my guest today. Your book, Heal Yourself, is very well done, and I think it's a wonderful read and a fabulous workbook for people.
Thank you so much, Donna, and thank you for helping me share this information. We all have this. You don't need to have a background in medicine or science to do this. If you can read or listen to the spoken word, you can do this. You can transform every part of your life. It's in you. You just need to access it, and it is all there for you. We all have this.
I'm so pleased to have had you as a guest today, Dr. Lynn Zimmerman. Check out her website, myenergymedicine.com.
drlynnblog.com, and the book is Heal Yourself, Using the Scientifically Proven Mind-Body Connection to Manage Chronic Pain, Depression, Cancer, and there's a lot more than that in the book. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, I'm back in my home turf, and I think I managed to lasso a little bit of that sunshine and hook it onto the plane and brought it in because the sun's actually been shining in the Pacific Northwest, whereas I've understood while I was gone it was raining a good deal of the time. So I'm very happy to have a little bit of that golden glow because I really enjoyed it down in sunny Southern California. And I want to thank the people that I interacted with at the Conscious Life Expo. I really enjoyed it. And it was a wonderful, wonderful trip down and back, and it was just great to do the interaction. You meet so many talented people of different areas of interest, and that is always important. You should always be willing to explore different aspects of thought, learning, people's experiences you can ask them about. It's really a very good environment, I think, to be in. I also want to let you know tomorrow we are going to be playing music. We're going to have a world-traveling harpist. Her music is absolutely gorgeous, and her name is Twyla Edensworthy. And we're going to be playing some of her music during tomorrow's show. And, of course, I love the harp. I really enjoy being able to showcase musicians because I think that the music is just such a vibrant, important part of life. And Twyla is just a very, very gracious lady. She has played in Europe for years and just recently has come back into the United States, so it's a delight to have her. Then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Lee Fortson. We're going to be talking about Embrace, Release, and Heal. Her book is a power-packed book. This is a woman that had cancer come back and affect her body.
more than once. And what she has learned in the process, this book is absolutely wonderful. And I'm just so delighted that she's going to be on the air with us. So if you know of anybody that's going through challenges like that, be sure you tune in, because I think you are going to find that she is just a real, real special lady. So we've got a wonderful lineup of guests. Of course, if you always want to know what's going on, then just go into the BBS radio site and check on show information, and you'll find out who is going to be coming up. And I also want to let those of you know who are listening in the Pacific Northwest, I am going to be appearing at the Ascension into Life Foundation at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning, and I'm going to be doing a talk there. So I hope it's going to be titled You Are the Magic. I hope if you want to go somewhere on a Sunday morning for some inspiration, you'll consider coming there. So go to my website, check it out, and you'll have all the details, address, and everything else that's going on there. My goodness, I can't believe that we're already halfway through the month of February. This month just goes by, the months just go by like the wind. It's just amazing to me. Well, I have to chuckle at the way things change, but they don't change. And I came across an article that was talking about tasty trends. Well, my goodness, I just thought this was hysterically funny. What is not hot today are pies. What's really in are donuts. And I thought to myself, you have got to be kidding. I've never known donuts to be out of the scene. If you've ever gone through any of the main donut places, like your Krispy Kremes or your, you know, Wenchel's Donuts or whatever you've got, I mean, give me a break. There's lines there. People haven't given up on donuts, so I don't know why this has decidedly become a significant thing. But you know what? They said that last year, the pie stole the king dessert crown from cupcakes. But there is a James Beard Foundation. James Beard was an awesome, awesome cook. He was a few generations back. They had this foundation that he developed. They said donuts will soon reign as the supreme sweet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I'm telling you, this is nothing new, but I really had to laugh because they've got all of these donuts filled with different types of fillings. And I just think this is so funny because donuts have been around forever. I mean, I've known families that make their own and put all kinds of stuff on it. A cake with a hole in it, and it's just absolutely wonderful. And I think Krispy Kreme just really has the edge on it. I know my husband, when he was growing up, he would buy a box of those silly things, and he'd have his half gallon of milk when he was in high school because he was running and doing everything else, and that was one of his greatest joys. Well, when you get older, you can't eat a box of Krispy Kremes anymore and drink that half gallon of milk. Otherwise, you're going to be you're going to look as round as the donut, and I don't think anybody wants to do that. Anyway, I just thought that was a hoot. And you know what? They say macaroni and cheese is really coming back strong. Oh, for heaven's sake, that's always been strong, especially with kids. Kids just love macaroni and cheese. It tastes good, and it's during the winter months. It's just a great comfort food. Well, I'll tell you what, that's no big news as far as I'm concerned. But something that I found in the way of tidbits of information is clicking coupons. Let me share some information with you. There have been at least $1.2 billion worth of digital coupons issued in 2010, and it's growing just by leaps and bounds. There's a guy by the name of Phil Lempert. He's a food marketing expert, and he's the founder of SupermarketGuru.com. And he said online coupons have been so hot, but now there's going to be a new paperless way to save. Mm-hmm. What you have to look for are QR codes, barcodes that you scan using your phone's camera and Google Wallet. This is a virtual wallet that lets you pay using your phone. And with all the technology that's coming forth, your smartphone apps and other things are going to push electronic coupons and the digital offers right into your hand. So that means that businesses are going to have reader units, because someone will walk in and say, here, I got this coupon. It's on their phone. They've got to be able to read that coupon so that they can give you credit for it. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Paper coupons aren't going to go away anytime soon, but this is a whole new level. And when I was in Los Angeles, I had a young man come up to me who has become involved in creating a kind of barcode that if you sent out a postcard or you gave anybody any kind of information about yourself for promotional purposes, all they have to do is have a reader of some kind. They read that barcode, and automatically they're connected with your website, your business, whatever it is that you've got going. Incredible stuff. I've never even seen this before. That's how fast the technology is moving. So when you're in business, you're really hard-pressed to keep up with it all, and you really need to have almost like a team of gurus that can show you how you can adapt your business, because not everybody's going to move at the same rate. And there's a lot of people that don't have smartphones. They're not involved with it. Really amazing. Really amazing. So I just wanted to share that little bit of information. And cooking videos, hey, they're going big time. We see so much of it on television, but there's even more stuff that's coming out. It's absolutely incredible. One of the things that is evolving, believe it or not, is a LASIK alternative. Now, having LASIK surgery has been a blessing for so many people. There's a lot of people that cannot have it done because it won't make any difference. But there are millions of people that have had LASIK surgery, and they have just been thrilled that it's enabled them to get rid of their glasses. Maybe they have to have reading glasses, but basically they can drive. They can just, you know, they've got a life. They don't have to wear glasses 24/7. Well, now there's implantable contact lenses. And it's from a California-based STAAR. Now, the surgery, they think, is going to be the next big thing for nearsighted people who don't qualify for LASIK. Because this is what they do. There's a very short surgery. A doctor inserts a Visian implantable collamer lens, the abbreviation is ICL, through three tiniest incisions in the cornea. And it's a lot less invasive than LASIK, which uses lasers to permanently reshape the cornea. Now, this is what it does. The ICL covers the eye's natural lens, and like LASIK, can often lead to better than 20/20 vision almost overnight. I mean, it's just incredible what they're doing. Now, the ICL procedure is going to cost about $1,000 more per eye than LASIK, but it can be a very good solution for people who are not good candidates for corrective surgery. It is mind-boggling. Have you ever seen the movie Logan's Run? If you haven't, watch the movie. A lot of what Bill Nolan wrote about, and I know Bill Nolan, the writer of Logan's Run, and he got these concepts and he put them out, gee whiz, this is years ago. I think this movie came out 1970s. I believe it was then. Maybe it was earlier. I don't know. But this movie, futuristic stuff, correcting eyes, and doing all kinds of things. We are doing this today. So Bill Nolan was way ahead of the curve in his futuristic projections in the movie Logan's Run. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. Hey, if you want to give me a call, give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. 008. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprisin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprisin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Give me a buzz if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight at 888-627-6008. Oh, I've got to share a story with you. I was down, as you know, in Los Angeles. Well, I had to get a rental car. And once I got through the Burbank Airport and I caught the shuttle to the car rental facility that I was using, they weren't really busy. I had gotten in late in the morning on Thursday, and I'm talking with a gentleman who's behind the counter. And you know how you kibitz when you are going into places, and people, if they don't have a lot going on, they're just very open and friendly, typically. And that's exactly the way this man was. So he said, oh, you're down here on business. I said, oh, yes, I'm going to the expo, and I gave him some information on it. And then he wanted to know what I do. So I told him about the radio show and found out the man's name was Nell. And he is helping me with my bags out to the car. And again, there's nobody really around. And he wanted to know what kind of work I did. So I told him I was a talk show host. I was also a psychic. And we discussed it. And he said, oh, my brother would just love to meet you. Now imagine standing in a car lot and you're talking with someone who is you've never talked with before. And he's relating a powerful story about his brother. Now, what happened with his brother? Apparently, his brother has been given the gift of seeing people on the other side. He sees spirit on a regular basis. Now, when he was little and growing up, there was no one for him to talk to about this, and his brother just didn't know what to do with it. I mean, let's face it. If we're a kid and we see these people that are not alive and, you know, in our reality, and they're there and they're maybe trying to communicate with you, how do you think you'd feel? Well, you'd get pretty upset, maybe, dependent on what your environment is. And Nell's brother has gone through this all of his life, and he didn't know what to do with it. Well, little by little, he's come to terms with it, but he shared a very, very special story. He said, my brother was in a business meeting, and this was in New York, and he was talking with someone. And this gentleman, his brother was speaking with, started to relate a very personal story. And he apologized. He was sort of distracted. And he told Nell's brother that he had an argument with his wife on the morning of 9/11. And that it was really upsetting to him, even more than you could ever imagine, because she was in the Twin Towers when it was hit, and she was killed. And he said his life has just been absolutely miserable because he felt so guilty. He's been carrying around this guilt for these many years because the last time he saw her, they were having this spat, the typical spat that most married people have every once in a while. You know how you do things like that. And it broke his heart. It just absolutely broke his heart. So Nell's brother is sitting there, and he can see this man's wife standing with him. And she communicated with Nell. She said,
please tell my husband that he's got to stop grieving. I'm not angry with him. I'm not upset with him. This had nothing to do with him. None of this was his fault. But I can't move on until he lets me go. So, now his brother is sitting at the table with this man, and finally he has to tell him what he's seeing. And what the wife of this grief-stricken man is trying to relate so that she can move on. Those were her words. And I was listening to Mel tell the story, and I said, gee, it's a shame your brother really doesn't have someone to talk with about this. His brother's a very successful businessman and works overseas as well as in the United States. And he really doesn't know exactly what to do with it, but he's come to a certain sense of balance because this happened without him saying, gee, I'd like to have somebody from a ghost or someone pop in and say hello to me. This isn't what he's asking for. But it's as if people are trying to communicate with his brother, just like the gal in the show, The Ghost Whisperer. That's right, same kind of thing. And I thought, gee, this is fabulous. I'd love to be able to talk with this man, because I think when people are gifted with this kind of capability, this is such a wonderful thing to share, because it enables people to know that loved ones are not gone, that they are with us, and that sometimes we need to make it okay to let go of grief. We need to make it okay to move on with our own lives. And there's just this wonderful potential for understanding that I think is just exceptional. So we just had a great conversation, and I hope my path crosses Nels again sometime in the future, because it was just delightful to talk with him. And I thought to myself, what a way to start a trip, to be able to be with someone, to enjoy such a conversation, and to be able to share thoughts and feelings that I think are just so important for us to be able to talk about. And I know there may be some people listening to the show today that say, Donna, you know, you're a little bit out in the left field with this one. Not really. I cannot say that I know it all, see it all, and will tell it all. That would be a lie if I did that. But I can tell you that from the various experiences and conversations I've had through my life, I find that anything that empowers people to understand that their own intuitive talents are wonderful, that it can express itself in a multitude of ways, and there's not something wrong with you. Go to the library, go to your bookstores, pick up books. Don't be afraid to learn and to explore. Just like the guest we had earlier today, one of the people that she talked about was a Native American medicine man. Now, this man had to train for years to be able to get to the point of understanding and wisdom that he acquired and he was able to share with others. This is the case with so many people who really are called to do certain things. And it's in every culture throughout the world. So I wanted to share that story with you because it was a very, very heartwarming and special experience for me. I was just delighted to be able to share time with this stranger that I don't consider a stranger now. It's wonderful to be able to have that freedom to communicate experiences and feelings. And I hope that you will give that opportunity to yourself as well as to others. Well, this is Donna Sebo. My goodness, we're out of time already. I'm so delighted you've been able to join me. Won't you join me again tomorrow? We have got a great guest. You're going to hear some fabulous music and hear some stories about a wonderful musician named Twyla. Join me if you can. Tell your friends as well. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you might be. I'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on DBS Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.